concentrate tonight on Acts 24 and verses 24 to 27. Those few verses. Verses 24 to 27. I want to ask the question, this simple question tonight. What made Felix tremble? What made Felix deeply afraid? Now let me tell you about this man, Felix. His name is Marcus Antonius Antonius Felix. He was the Roman governor and judge. And he judged in Judea. He judged from the year 52 to the year 60 after Christ. So those 8 years he was judge. Now, if you read the text carefully, you need to know this about Felix. First, he knew the Old Testament. It's quite clear here, he knew the Old Testament. And in fact, his wife, Drusilla, was a Jewess. So he would have been very familiar with the Torah, the law of God. Not only that, but the text in verse 22, it makes it quite clear that Felix had an accurate knowledge of what's called the way. That was what they called the Christian faith in those early days. It was the way. And it says, Felix had an accurate knowledge of the way. So this man knew the scriptures and he knew the faith of the Christian church. That's what we notice about him. But we also see that if you read between the lines, he was not an upright and righteous man. Did you notice in verse 26, he kept calling Paul back. Why did he keep calling Paul back? He was hoping for money. He was hoping for a bribe. I wonder how interested he was in hearing Paul. He had ulterior motives. I'm hoping that Paul will pay me. I think Paul came from a reasonably wealthy family. He was a Roman. He was hoping for a bribe. And more than that, Felix was a man pleaser. It says right at the end of the text, he left Paul in custody. He wanted to please the Jews. This was Felix. Now then, in the year AD 58, Paul was brought before him. Remember that year, 58 AD. Paul was brought before him. And the text tells us that Paul spoke to him. Paul, the prisoner, was speaking to Felix, the governor and judge. But the thing is, what Paul said made Felix dreadfully afraid. All of a sudden, the word can be translated terrified. It says there, which verse is it? Now, verse 25. This should be our focus tonight. Look at verse 25. As Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was terrified. And he answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Now, all I want to do this evening is ask the question, what did Paul say that terrified Felix? Well, the first thing we can say is, he spoke to Felix about the judgment to come. That's clear in the text, isn't it? See there? He spoke, he reasoned. In other words, reasoning, he, as it were, followed the line of his thinking. He unfolded his thinking about the judgment to come. And we know very well what Paul would have said to Felix, because we have heard him speak about this judgment to come in other places. In Acts 17, we have these words, which I have read many times. Because he, that is God, listen, has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. You see, this is what Paul is saying. This is how he preached. God has appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. We know that Paul would have said exactly that to Felix. And we know tonight that this is one of the basic truths of the Christian faith. This is why I read to you before from Revelation chapter 20. There you have a brief vision of the day of judgment. John says, I saw a great white throne. He saw in a vision the throne of God. And he saw much more than that. He saw that there were books, and the books were opened. And what was contained in the books? Well, in all of them but one, there was contained the works that men and women and children had done. A record of history, if you like. A record of our lives. The great books of heaven. The record. The indelible record. And we read that there was another book. The book of life. So John said, you know, at this great white throne is a time when books will be opened. And he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne. And John makes it quite clear that what he saw was that everyone who had ever lived was summoned before that great white throne. Not some, not those who were just alive. The sea gave up the dead that had drowned or been lost in them. And he goes on to speak about the second death and the book of life. It's there in Revelation chapter 20 and other places. Now, I can read to you from here a summary of the truth that Paul would have spoken about before Felix. Listen, let me read this to you. These are not Paul's words, but they are a summary of the biblical teaching of the day of judgment, of the last judgment. Listen, God, you will recognize these words. God has appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, to whom all power and judgment is given by the Father, in which day not only the apostate angels shall be judged, but likewise all persons that have ever lived upon the earth shall appear before the tribunal of Christ to give an account of their thoughts, words and deeds, and to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the kind of thing that Paul would have reasoned about in front of Felix. Now the text, our text tells us that he did not only speak about the judgment to come, but he also spoke about righteousness. And with righteousness, he adds self-control. In other words, when a man, as it were, restrains his behavior because he is aware of what God has commanded. This is righteousness. It's as if Paul is saying to Felix, you need to know that there is a judgment day to come, and you need to think about righteousness. You see, God is a righteous judge. Unlike Felix, we sang just now Psalm 98. He will judge the world in righteousness, says the psalmist. And I want to emphasize tonight that the righteousness of God that we are talking about is a perfect righteousness. It's a complete righteousness. It's not a bit here and a bit there. Everything is done completely in the righteousness of God. His law, remember this, his law is the standard by which the world will be judged. His law is the standard. The holy law of God is the standard by which God will judge our souls. And coming back to Felix, he knew very well the law of God. His wife, Drusilla, would have read it, heard it, talked to him about it. He would have known the Ten Commandments. He would have known so much about the law of God. He knew the standards of God. And if I can digress for a moment, so does the government of this country and the rulers of the Western world. They know where to find the law of God. Whether they will accept it, of course, no. They cast it out. They turn it over on its head. But even so, it stands there as a testimony against them. And they will be judged by that law, not the laws of Parliament. Not by the modern moral ideas, but by the law of God. Every line and jot of it. On that day, you see, on that day, God's justice will be fully satisfied. This is so important. Listen to what it says in the scripture. It says, every person must stand before the judgment seat of God. It says that every deed will be judged by him. It even says that every secret of the hearts of men will be exposed and judged. It will be a complete judgment, perfect righteousness. Listen, every person must stand before the judgment seat of God. Paul writes, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Every person will be there. No matter if they've lived 1,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, the people who occupied Mesopotamia or the Roman Empire or the far corners of the world, every person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, every deed will be judged. The book of Ecclesiastes finishes with these words, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. You see what the scripture says. Every person, every work, and listen, even the secrets of men's hearts. Listen to Paul in Romans, and I'll say something more about this in a minute. On the day when God will what? Judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus, according to my gospel. You see, we are left in absolutely, no doubt in Scripture that at that great and dreadful day, everyone will stand there. Everyone will appear before the throne of God, the great white throne. Every deed will be, as it were, exposed in the books, and even the secrets of our hearts will be known to God and exposed. Every person, every deed, every secret. It's as if Paul, as he reasons about this before Felix, he might as well have said to him, and perhaps he did, Felix, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Felix, you do not stand the test of that judge. You do not. So Paul speaks to Felix about the judgment to come and righteousness. We have to, you know, as believers, we have to reckon seriously with the perfect justice of God. Nothing will escape his eye. Nothing will be missed by his verdict. But Paul, that's not all that Paul said to Felix. What else did he say to him? Well, if you look at our text in Acts 24, verse 24, Paul had clearly talked to him concerning faith in Christ. In other words, it wasn't just the judgment to come. It wasn't just the righteousness of God, but it was the faith. Paul confessed that he was a Christian. He spoke to Felix about his Christian faith. He spoke about Christ. Verse 24, the faith in Christ. Now, it might interest you that this was the year AD 58. Let me tell you that in the winter of AD 57, in other words, the ink was hardly dry, Paul wrote the letter to the Romans from Corinth. It's not long before this that Paul had written his great letter to the Romans. And as I said, the ink was barely dry on that parchment. And so we can have no doubt in our minds that what Paul was going to say to Felix about the faith in Christ was well written down in the letter to the Romans. And the faith in Christ, the gospel of Christ, in this context comes down to this. That the justice, listen, the justice, the righteousness of God is fully satisfied in Jesus Christ and his cross. I've said to you that in the judgment he will not misalign, so to speak. His justice must be fully satisfied. But Paul's gospel was that for the believer, it has been satisfied. And it's been satisfied at Calvary. You know, I hope you know, I know, that for those who come to Jesus Christ as sinners, and they pour out their sins, as it were, at the foot of the cross, these are forgiven. These are forgiven men. God has promised, listen, their sins and their misdeeds, I will remember no more. He says in another place by the prophet, he says, I will cast their sins into the sea. It will be gone. You see, what's going on here? That the punishment that is due on the sins and the vile thoughts and all the evil that stands to his people's account, that evil has been charged to Christ's account. And the punishment that was due comes upon Christ. No wonder Paul could write in that letter to the Romans, there is therefore now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel that Felix would have heard. This is what he was told. Let me read to you some of his words. I have no doubt that Paul would have said this in one way or another. He says to him, by the deeds of the law, Felix, no flesh will be justified in his sight. You cannot justify yourself. By the law, doesn't it come, Felix? By the law comes the knowledge of sin. Yes, it does. But now, listen, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. He says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For whom? To all and upon all who believe. For there is no difference. What he means is, it doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Roman or a Gentile. There's one way to be righteous before God. And it's by coming to Christ and putting your sins on his shoulder, confessing your sins to him and asking for forgiveness because he shed his blood. That's what Paul would have said to Felix. You see, Paul would have said to him that on that great day, do you know what God will display? Yes, he will display his justice. For sure he will display his perfect justice. But he will also display his mercy to sinners. Now Felix would have heard this from Paul. No doubt about it. Felix, there is mercy for sinners in God. Mercy for sinners through Jesus Christ. If Felix had been trembling and begun to ask the question, I hope he did, but I don't think he did, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? The scripture asked that question in Hebrews 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Where is this great salvation? It is in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Paul would no doubt have said to Felix, Felix, you must fly from the wrath to come. You hear of the day coming. The day is coming, the day of judgment. You must escape it, Felix. You must fly from the wrath to come. Paul was standing before Felix and he was, as it were, reasoning before him of these great truths. And I want to close tonight by asking you to consider Felix's response. So there you are, you've seen Paul standing before Felix. He's talked to him the great truth of the judgment to come, the truth that concerns all of us. the great reality of the perfect righteousness of God. You will not deceive him in anything. We cannot hide from his all-seeing eye. But that was only the, as it were, the half of the story. Then there is the great faith which is in Christ. There is nothing like the faith that is in Christ to give a sinner peace in the assurance of sins forgiven. But we must ask before we finish tonight, how did Felix respond? How did he respond? Well, in verse 25 of our chapter, we see him shaking with fear. As far as I'm concerned, that was a good and wise response. There is a reason to be afraid, to be fearful. There is a reason to tremble when you think of Christ returning. The last day dawning, the graves being opened, the throne of God appearing, the books in his hand. There is a reason to tremble, yes, Felix. But what did he do after he trembled? He said to Paul, "Go away. Go away." Felix, if only you could reach back into history, say, "Felix, you foolish governor, don't send Paul away. Don't send him away." But he did. He said to him, "Go away. What's going on here? Could he not stand to hear the terrors of truth?" Probably not. Probably not. But the text goes on in verse 26, and it says to us that Felix often called Paul back. That when Paul went away that day, it wasn't the end. No, no, there were days after that. And remember, Felix had 2 more years to listen to Paul. And the text tells us that in those 2 years, 58 to 60, he often called him back. "Paul, come and talk to me again. Let me hear you again." But it's quite clear from our text by implication that even after hearing Paul for 2 years, Felix never repented. He never believed. He didn't fly from the wrath to come. He didn't lay all his sins on Jesus Christ. He didn't do what he had to do in order to be saved. We are never told in Scripture that Felix believed and became a Christian. In fact, the very opposite appears to be the case. And then what happened? Well, the door of salvation was closed upon him. The day of opportunity ended for Felix. You can see that in the providence of God. He'd had 2 years to listen to Paul, and God in his providence said, "Felix, you've had enough. You're going somewhere else." And Porcius Festus came in his place. Felix's opportunity to hear the great apostle Paul speaking to him of things that concerned his soul's welfare for the whole of eternity, the day of opportunity was closed on Felix. And it is important that we don't miss that. Paul, somewhere in his letters, he says to us, "Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation." What does he mean? He means while you are in the position to hear the gospel preached, while you still have it read in your ears, while these are days of opportunity. These are days in which God and Christ are calling you to themselves. Those who despise these opportunities, for them, one way or another, the day of opportunity will close. It may be that your life will end. It may be that God in his providence will remove you from the house of God. And you'll look back and you'll say one day, "I wish I could recover those days. I wish I could go back to the time when the gospel was being preached to me and I was hearing the word of God." God sovereignly is able to close that door. And we mustn't fool around with the days of opportunity while they are. This could be Felix, could be any man. You could be Felix. And I'm tempted to say our country is like Felix. Days of opportunity have been in this country. There have been many centuries where the gospel has been known in Britain. But what has happened now? What has happened in this country when it seems that the vast majority and those who, as it were, steer the country in terms of its religion and its morals, they are morally depraved and spiritually ignorant and bankrupt? What has happened to our country? Perhaps one pagan devil was driven out in the early centuries, and now seven devils have come in to occupy a clean land. This country should be alarmed at what's happening in its midst. The gospel is being shut up, and men and women, boys and girls, are being misled, and they will wake up one day at the day of judgment when it's too late. That's what's happening in this country. Now is the day of salvation. Let us remember what Paul said to Felix. The day of judgment to come. The righteousness of God and the faith of Christ. These are fundamental jewels of truth for the soul. Amen.